Emmanuel, God with us. How can God be with us? How can the God who created everything, the God of the Bible who is perfectly holy and righteous and good, how can he be with someone like me? How can he be with me knowing the kind of person that I am? The Bible says that God perceives even our thoughts from afar. Sometimes when I think about Emmanuel, God with us, it kind of bothers me because I wonder, how can this God be with me, be with someone like me? At Christmas, it's really important that when we think about Emmanuel, God with us, we understand what Jesus did for us. Because if God is going to be with someone like me, with someone like you, then he's got to do something drastic for me, in me. And that's what we find here in the meaning of Christmas. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, we heard those three readings from that famous second chapter of Luke where the angels come to the shepherds and they tell them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's getting at what Jesus did for us so that God could be with us. I want you to think for a second, what comes into your mind when I say the word Savior? Savior, what comes into your mind? A few minutes ago we sang Silent Night. I think it's the 200-year anniversary of Silent Night this year, and it's arguably one of the most popular carols of all time. We can probably fight about that, whether it's O Holy Night or Silent Night. But as I looked back at the past Christmas Eve, like I looked back at all of our Christmas Eve services as far back as I could go, and there isn't a single service that I found without Silent Night. It's like written in our church constitution somewhere that we have to sing Silent Night. And I know that if I were to try to take that out of this service, it would be my last Sunday here, or last Christmas anyway, probably last Sunday too, as pastor, because it's such a well-known song. But it's not only heard at churches, it's heard all over the place. You can hear Silent Night in a doctor's office, you can hear it in a mall, you could see it in a Hollywood film or hear it in a Hollywood film. It's all over the place. In fact, the Bing Crosby, how many of you have the Bing Crosby Christmas album? In fact, Silent Night is the third best-selling single of all time. Can you believe it? Silent Night. Now, what are the words that we hear, that millions upon millions of people hear every year over and over again, these words from Silent Night? Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. And then repeat it again, just in case you didn't hear it the first time. Christ, the Savior, is born. Now, you can hear that and not hear it. You can hear those words, and they can wash over you again and again, Christmas after Christmas, and you cannot actually get the meaning of those words. And if you really want to understand what Christmas is all about, you have to understand what this word Savior means. What comes into your mind when you hear the word Savior? When I was a kid, the word Savior made me think of candy. Confession time. The word Savior made me think of candy because lifesavers, the word saver sounded like savior. And so you know how you get these word associations in your mind. And so I had this word association with saver, savior. And so when I would hear at Christmas time this talk about a savior, I would just instantly think of like a small sort of raft-like hard candy, cherry-flavored, lemon, orange, whatever. That's what came into my mind actually for years, and sometimes it still does when I hear the word savior. Go figure. Must be something wrong with me. But for the angels to hear that word savior, what came into their minds? Because that's more important. This actually happened. The angels came to tell the shepherds, a savior has been born for you. And sometimes we're skeptical. We're like, oh, human beings just made up this story. if human beings made up a story about angels, they wouldn't come up with a message in which the angels come and tell them that they need to be saved, right? Maybe they would tell them something like, you know, you've all been good. What do you want for Christmas? But have angels come and say, no, you are actually really broken and messed up, and you need a savior. In other words, you're a person who needs saving. That's not a really popular message today. In fact, just me saying that, some of you might cringe. You brought someone here, and now it's like the Baptist pastor wearing a tie is talking about getting saved. Get me out of here. What do you mean by savior? I don't need to be saved. I'm a good person. My life is going well. Maybe the world needs to be saved, but I don't need to be saved. I'm good. Maybe some of you aren't in that spot. Maybe you're thinking, I could use a savior of sorts. I could use some help, right? Maybe my marriage could use some saving. Maybe my relationship with one of my kids could use some saving. Maybe my visa bill could use some rescuing. My health could use some improving. My career could use a boost. My self-esteem could use some enhancing, and so on and so on. And all of these things are actually important. And God cares about those things. But when the angels declare a message of a savior, they're getting at something much deeper. Something much more profound than any of those things that we care so much about. Remember what the angel said in Matthew's gospel when he comes to Joseph. What does he say? He says this, speaking of Mary. The angel says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. So do you understand that tonight, the thing that you most need saving from is sin? What is sin anyway? Why are we talking about sin on Christmas Eve? Well, we need to, because if you don't understand sin, you don't understand why Jesus came. Sin is, it's breaking God's laws in how we think, what we say, what we do, our attitudes. Sin is building your life ultimately on something other than God. According to the Bible, sin is actually making your happy place, your ultimate happy place, someone or something other than God. It's living as if God doesn't really matter. It's living for other things, ultimately. And sin really lies to us, it deceives us, it ruins our relationships with others, and it most of all ruins our relationship with God. Sin destroys our relationship with God. It makes us guilty. It rightfully brings God's anger on us eternally. That's how serious sin is. It's no light thing. And sin is not just things that we feel bad about. Sin is things that God says are wrong, no matter how we feel about them. That's the bad news of Christmas, is sin. But the good news is this. See, if you don't understand the bad news, you don't understand the good news. The good news is no news without the bad news. And here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's why he came. That was his mission. So that our sin could be dealt with, so that we could have God, so that God could be with us, Emmanuel, and so that we could be with him forever. That's why he came. How did he do it? How did he do it? He did it by being born and living a sinless life and dying a sinner's death. That's what he did. That's what he did. You see, when we come and worship Jesus at Christmas, you can never, ever, ever forget about the cross. Ever. Some of us say, you know, we get kind of anxious and we get kind of defensive and we say, don't ever take Christ out of Christmas. And I want to go a little bit further than that and say, never take the cross away from Christ and why he came. After the angels tell the shepherds this news, the angels say this, beforehand, they appear, and this chorus of praise explodes, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is what Jesus does. Jesus comes to deal with our sins so that we can have peace with God. And that word peace, it doesn't just mean an absence of conflict. It means wholeness. It means completion. It means well-being in every part of our life. That's why Jesus came, to bring peace into our lives. Shalom, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. That's why he came. And so here's the thing. If you have God, according to the Bible, to have peace is first and foremost to have God. That's the foundation of peace in your life. That means that if everything in your life is going perfectly well right now, this Christmas Eve, but you don't have him, you don't have God, you don't have peace. Why? Because it can be taken away from you in an instant. And because this life without God is as good as it's ever going to get. But if everything in your entire life is falling apart, but you have Christ, you have God, then according to the Bible, you can have peace regardless of your circumstances, because you know that even if everything else is taken away from you, you still have God, and this life is as bad as it's going to get. It's only going to get better forever because of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of peace that can sustain your life through the most violent storms, through the biggest problems, because you know your deepest problem has been solved, your sin has been dealt with, and God is on your side. He's with you. He's for you. He loves you. Do you have that peace? How do you get that peace? Well, the angels say, they say this, they say, peace among those with whom he's pleased. How can God be pleased? Again, coming back to someone like me. How can he be pleased with me? How can I have his peace? Because Jesus came and Jesus died and Jesus rose and all of my sins have been taken away. They've been put on him. God can forgive me. There's nothing separating me from God. Do you know that that is the greatest gift? That is the greatest gift that any of you could ever receive. That's why it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he," what? He gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gift. And it's not something that you can earn. It's just something that you can receive. But you've got to open your hands and you've got to say, "God, I'm sorry. I've lived without you. I've turned from you. And now I'm receiving Christ. I'm saying yes. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my trust in what Jesus did for me so that God can be with me." That's the gift. That's what it means. And when that happens, when you receive that gift of Christ, when you commit your life to him, not just as Savior, but as Lord, because the angels say that he comes not only as Savior, but as Lord. I love it when we hear a crying baby, because you know what? Christmas Eve is all about a crying baby in this world. You know, the hymn that says, "No crying he makes"? I don't believe it. Jesus was fully human. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So when you receive Christ, here's what happens. He's no longer just a Savior. He's not only just the Savior, but he becomes what? He becomes my Savior. He becomes mine. And I become his. That's the good news. That's the good news. I hope you know it. I hope you feel it. I hope you believe it. I hope you've received it into your life. let's reflect on it now. I'm going to ask Mick to come and sing a song called Down From His Glory. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells in Him. Amen.